Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, attaining the supreme text number 18. Avyakta advyaktaya sarva. Pravantyahur agame. Radriyagame praliyante. Tadriva vyakta samgake. We'll just read the translation because there's no purport. In the beginning of Brahma's life, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state. And thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Purport. There's no purport. Text 19. Buddha gramam sa eva yam bhutva bhutva praliyante ratriyagame vishaparta pravatnyohar agame. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Purport. The less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets and then again must come down to this planet Earth. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities in higher and lower planets within the material world. For the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. In the day, they receive various bodies for material activities, and at night, they no longer have bodies, but remain compact, the body of Vishnu. Then again, they are manifest at the arrival of Brahma's day, bhutva bhutva praliyate. During the day, they become manifest, and at night, they are annihilated again. Ultimately, when Brahma's life is finished, They are all annihilated and remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years. And then Brahma is born again in another millennium and they are again manifest. This way they are captivated by the spell of the material nature, of the material world. But the intelligent persons who take to Krishna consciousness use the human life fully in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus they transfer themselves, even in this life, to the spiritual planet of Krishna and become eternally blissful there, not being subject to such rebirths. Bhagavad Gita only encourages one thing, to get out of the material world and go back to the spiritual world. If one wants to be obtain enthusiasm for something in this material world, you won't find it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's quite depressing for a materialist. But then again, what's depressing is also realistic. The big dream, and the main dream in the material existence is we're going to be here for a long time. It's quite shocking for the soul to find out that he might even die. Although other people died, but they were probably not good people, but I'm a good person. So maybe there'll be some exception for me. And if there's no exception, I have so many decades and decades to go, it's probably like, it's almost 311 trillion years I'm going to be around here for. 40 plus 40 billion. So people are under this imagination, my existence here and the circumstances is going to go on for a long, long time. And that I should worry about death. That happens to bad people, but I'm a good person. And therefore people are making so many plans for this material world. Buying houses with their families, planning their vacations, planning their retirement, which will go on practically forever. Planning so many things for their grandchildren, what will they do. So many plans. But none of these plans ultimately mean anything. According to the Bhagavatam, all this material existence is like if you go to the shore of an ocean, and in the shore you listen to the waves coming in. They seem like they're saying something, but it's called the babbling of sea waves. Or as William Shakespeare said, it's full of sound and fury, but it signifies nothing. So that's material existence. Our existence here is full of sound and fury. So many people worry about what's going to happen with this coronavirus or the economy and They're not worried about the fact that they're going to die. No matter, even if they cured every virus in the world, still they die anyhow. That they're not worried about. Nor are they not worried about where they're going to go after this body. They couldn't care less. They think this life of just a few moments is all in all, and they don't care what's going to happen afterwards. So that's called madness. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to try to help us get away from this madness by realizing that very shortly we have to leave this body, and of course we'll get another body, either material or spiritual. But if we don't get a spiritual body and go back to the spiritual world, even we think, all right, I'll go just one body after another, and maybe I'll get lucky sometime. Still, there's an annihilation at the end of Kali Yuga, and that's for thousands of years we'll be asleep. I mean, if you feel tired now, you need a good rest, just wait till the end of Kali Yuga. You'll get to rest for thousands of years. And then after Brahma's lifetime, you get to rest for 311 trillion 40 billion years. And if you wake up tired, too bad. It's about as long as they'll let you sleep. And during that time, you accomplish absolutely nothing in terms of development. As a matter of fact, the only accomplishment that's worth anything is to develop our Krishna consciousness. Everything else is just a waste of time, ultimately. If someone is not helping us developing our Krishna consciousness, then it's just wasting our time, because it'll all be lost in the course of time. Just like there was one king, his daughter was Revati, his father was Kukumi, but I forget what his name was. And he wanted Revati, his daughter, to get married. So she was a highly qualified lady. So he went to Brahmaloka to find out who would be an eligible husband for my daughter. But when he saw Brahma said, if you can just wait a few minutes, because the Gandharvas are having a concert right now, and then I can speak to you after the concert. So he said, no problem. So he waited a few minutes. And Brahma said, what can I do for you? He said, well, I'd like to find a good husband for my daughter. He said, well, I had to tell you, but you've been out here for only a few minutes. But in terms of where you're coming from, it was millenniums that transpired. And therefore, your whole kingdom has disappeared. And anyone who's ever heard of your kingdom, they also disappear. In other words, you're pretty broke right now. You're unemployed. You have no assets. You have no relatives. You have absolutely nothing. But you do have a free ticket back to where you came from. And luckily for you right now, Lord Balaram's appearing on the Earth planet, and it just so happens that your daughter is his eternal consort. So if you leave now and don't complain about what your misfortune, and simply go and give Revati to Balaram, then everything should turn out pretty well for you. So that's what he did. So we're thinking we're going to be here for a long time, but soon, according to Brahma's estimation, not only will disappear, but even Slovenia will disappear. Don't tell anyone. And anyone who's ever heard of Slovenia will, of course, most people have never heard of Slovenia anyhow. But even those who have heard of Slovenia, even the maps that have Slovenia on it, will disappear. Couldn't you show me a map of ancient Cairo 10,000 years ago? Couldn't you show me where the Pharaoh's palace was? Could anyone name the name of the Pharaoh 10,000 years ago in Egypt? No, of course. But when he was the Pharaoh, he thought he was a big person. He thought, everyone knows my name. You go on the street 10,000 years ago, hey, have you heard of the Pharaoh? What are you, crazy? Of course. He's the Pharaoh. Everyone knows him. What's his name? Bob. Bob the Pharaoh. Really, that's a strange name for Pharaoh. Yeah, he's a strange Pharaoh. So we should expect the same thing over ourselves. We may think, well, I've done so much, maybe they'll put a plaque when I leave my body, they'll put a plaque somewhere for me. But that plaque will disappear. And anyone who goes and reads the plaque, they'll say, who is this? And we'll be there in our ghost body. You don't know me. I did so much. Someone has to give us up this idea that somehow or another we have to be attached to this body and to what this body accomplishes, and people should appreciate it. We should get recognition. Everything in our life should go smoothly. When we leave this body, definitely a Vaikuntha airplane has to come and pick me up and take me back to the spiritual world because I'm such a nice person. So as it says here, we should prepare now for going back to the spiritual world by becoming Krishna conscious in this lifetime. And so we won't have to worry about if we're going back to the spiritual world or not, because we'll already be in the spiritual world, in Krishna consciousness. And no matter what happens, the future of the material world, we should not be optimistic. So many people are optimistic a year ago. Oh, everything's all right. The stock market in America is doing pretty good. My kids got into college. I have a good job. Prasadam's good. I have a place to sleep. The world's great. I could be here forever. No problem. And people in that mentality were going to be here forever. But luckily Krishna has made people a little bit more pessimistic, because the powers that be, who are manifestations of people's sinful activities, I've decided to put as they say in America, tighten the screws on people. And so people are not so optimistic as they used to be. I hope. I don't know. People may be there still thinking everything is going to turn out all right. So it's good Krishna is making people a little bit more pessimistic, because ultimately the real problems haven't been solved at all, nor can anyone solve them without Krishna consciousness. Namely birth, death, old age, and disease, which are the actual problems of life. Only Krishna consciousness can solve them, and the more people become receptive to it, the better their lives will be. So it may appear that their lives have become distressed due to this COVID-19 or the economic problems it might bring, but actually it's very auspicious if it makes them more receptive to Krishna consciousness. Because then they have a better chance of getting free from the real problems, birth, death, old age, and disease. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question. How can we put together teachings of Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya?
Well, you can take the books and put them together. That's just, it's as close as you're probably going to get.
Yeah, but then there will be still my problems of attachment to this material world, and no shrink can help me, as far as I know. I mean, and there is a liberation in this kind of knowledge. They say.
Just follow regular principles of devotional service. Get attached to that. Because we're not about to manifest extreme attachment for Krishna and then extreme detachment for the material energy. But we should try to use our intelligence, chant our rounds every day, come to the program, do service, and then gradually Krishna will give us some knowledge, and then with that knowledge we'll be able to become real knowledge, become gradually detached from the material energy. So we have to be patient, hear patiently, form of service with patience and confidence, and gradually enthusiasm will grow.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anything else? Yes. Pass the baton. You know what a baton is? When they're doing races, when they have, what do they call those? Relay races. Relay. And then they pass the baton to the next person, they run with it.
I'm supposed to run.
What's that?
I'm supposed to run now?
Yes, go ahead. Good exercise. You can run around here two times.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for the lecture. I heard many times in different psychological symposiums or lectures that the root cause of every mental disease is actually the separation between material and spiritual world. So I'm wondering whether the concept of material world is just our covering of not realizing that everything is actually spiritual already, or we're supposed to distinguish between material or spiritual. What's the aim? Are we supposed to Krishnanize everything and make everything spiritual, or we're supposed to still be stuck in this separation between material and spiritual?
Both.
Okay, so it's really a chintya.
Yeah, well, we have to understand that this is all spiritual, but there are activities and conceptions which are material. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand everything is spiritual, but not everything we're going to do and not everything we think is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Unless we do things and understand things in relation to Krishna, then everything becomes material. Mm-hmm. And when we see and do things in relation to Krishna, then they become spiritual to us.
Thank you.
Anything else? Well, there are two questions. That's a lot for Thank you very much. Krishna Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.